it's watery.
The apple breaks down in four ways. It either becomes moldy or powdery, but this is not moldy or powdery. It still has liquid in it. So this is another way it breaks down into what we call the watery condition. There's another way it breaks, it gets hard, shrivels up like a prune. No water, it doesn't powderize. And there's a fourth way, it stays natural for no molding or breaking down for at least 2 years. In this case, this is what we call the watery frequency. And the principle for that is to dissolve. So when you're going to treat or work on somebody, you have to plant it.
Now? I mean,
today, tomorrow? Tomorrow. Yeah. The particular code in setting up in your brain to the frequency that you're locked into, and that applies only to you at the initiation, how you're locked in to the frequencies of the atoms, you're locked into the what is called the dissolving function of it. So if you are going to work on somebody and they ask you first, then you visualize by saying, you want to write it down or you have it written, printed out, you want to give them a copy of it. So this will give her an idea of which frequency she's working with. Now, a frequency isn't better than another one. It's just like you're assigned by the FCC. a particular wavelength to work with. You can own 15 different stations and have different wavelengths, but each one is a specified action. So dissolving goes like this. Divine will flowing through me will dissolve all those conditions that interfere with the normal and harmonious flow of this individual, and you call their name, so Joan or Jane or Jim. It has been said, it is done, so be it. We thank you for manifesting this now. That's the process of how you release the energy, and you know and you identify with the frequency. And as an initiate, you are given the power to crystallize the atom with your mouth. So you should be already reach 1 year of application control with the frequency to which you are locked into, that by that time to now, your consciousness is synchronizing with your words and with the atomic frequencies. The only person who has forgiveness and extension of the compassionate nature is a passenger. That's a non-initiate. The initiate is a driver. They are called upon to make account for every action they do with their mouth. And so if you don't realize what you are in terms of the initiation, you will have to, you're initiated, because all that you said in a just or unjust state have to materialize from the atomic level, because you're behind the wheel now. You're not a passenger no more. Passengers are allowed, that is, the non-initiate are allowed to make mistakes, be forgiven, become compassionately released by those who are evolved, but those who are already behind the wheel, that is, the initiate is the person who assumes the responsibility of the spoken word with the atom and the identification of the atom in order to become Christ realized or God realized. That person doesn't have a passenger quality no more. That person is a driver. The policeman is not going to give the passenger the ticket, you're going to give the driver the ticket. So, from that standpoint, you assume responsibility for the spoken word as an initiate. but to see which level or frequency that this particular process is set up. In your particular case, the apple is a measuring device. We can't imagine it, and we can't assign it to a person at initiation. We have to be able to validate it, that when you put your love into it, you put your integrity of consciousness to flow. And therefore, it will manifest what you are set up to work with. There are two types of beings. Those who would like to tap in on you as a non-initiate and use you as a telephone booth. And there are those who are forced to materialize to convince you that they do exist. So you as an initiate doesn't take chances or guess at your integrity of conscious or communication, because you're given a technique to check out if you're a victim of imagination or you're actually going to make contact with a being who is fully realized. A fully realized being cannot use a telephone booth. For example, Saul went to someone who was a telephone booth, and his teacher really laid it into him. Samuel told him, "Why you call me this way? I'm not that type of an individual." And he exposed him, because Saul went in disguise to the person who they call the witch of Endor, and a witch is only a person label, but she was a channel to make contact with beings in another dimension. But when she found out who the customer was, and that he was the actual king of the country in disguise, she really laid into him too. But she was also made vulnerable by the fact that the person she was calling up was a realized being, and he really chastised both of them. Now, that went through time as a way without any resolve. When Jesus came, he had to resolve it. He couldn't leave it like that. So he took his disciples, who were initiates, into a garden, and he made them confront two beings who were forced to do what? Materialize themselves so that they could be seen. And those who saw it were the ones who were conscious while they were waiting. Those who didn't see it were the ones that were sleeping. So we tell you, as of the moment you're initiated and you're in the process of practicing your meditation, you are working to a non-sleep state. The non-sleep state allows you to function within the visible range of the actualization of the being who is fully realized. A non-initiate may not get there until he's initiated and he isn't allowed to interact with it, because the beings who show themselves aren't interested in a non-initiate unless it's an emergency for help. Then they will materialize and give some kind of a compensation. And in that state, when they do it, you, the sick person, have no way to impose or fool them. So they can't be made vulnerable by your illness. You're honest for the first time when you're sick, and you're crying out for help when you're sick, and you're forced to accept the actual manifestation of the sick person. So there's no room for a healthy person to call a being from a higher level to appear to give them a visible proof, unless a teacher is working with a student at the initiate level. Then the integrity of the student is brought into focus for those beings. Now, the integrity of the being not wanting to be seen and wanting to use the mechanism as a means to communicate, that's an entire option. They are not going to go through birth, and they're not going to assume responsibility for your mistakes, but they will be glad to come through to talk to those who want to listen and give information, but they will never take a visible manifestation because they are not in that level. So we are not condemning them. we're trying to show the journey of the initiate is not the journey of the non-initiate. And the journey of the initiate requires cleaning up your body. So when Jesus came, he gave his disciples tangible evidence of visualization. And later on, when he actually went through the crucifixion, which is the death experience, and then the disciples were torn up now between the initiates, where do they go from there? Is it that their teacher has left them in a stranded level of consciousness or not? Then he came back to them and gave them the visualization by coming through the wall and calling upon Thomas the scientist. We call him Doubting Thomas, or nitty-gritty headed, mud-headed type, like Adano, who don't believe nothing till he sees it. So he said, okay boy, check me out. This is flesh and blood, not a, no ghost in your head now, and no imagination. And if you're satisfied, good, I'll eat a little piece of fish and bread with you, and leave it to you, say, don't rot. And bye-bye, and he took off through the wall. So this is evidence of actualization. That is, the person is in full control of the atom by the spoken word. So then the 11 disciples then could go out, knowing they're initiates, and live their word and see it materialize for them. And they only have one mission in life, is to help others to find what they are. They don't have any other mission. So by giving them that, he gave them certain ways to identify how they can lock into the energy. You as an initiate now, you have the measurement of the way the apple breaks down to indicate what frequency you're locked into. In your case, you are the dissolver. Another person might be a rebuilder, which is a large one that doesn't break down for 2 years, or another person may be an eliminator, a powdery object, or it may be a strengthener. But each person isn't better than the other. It's just that their frequencies or how they work with the energy is where they line up. Eventually, all four frequencies dovetail into one as it emerges into your higher consciousness. But you have to work through step by step to see it. So it's not a belief system. It is a knowing of what you are and what you're doing. Now, the evidence is in your capability to function in a practical manner and not be impractical. And this is what would radiate or be obvious in the person, how they cope daily, moment to moment, in everyday living. So, what you do now with the apple, now that you recognize your frequency that you set up in the atom, plant the apple in a pot indoors till it sprouts up and comes like a little tree, you know, then it can transfer it to the ground. Not right in the ground right away, no, because you want evidence that it is taking root. You see, the seeds don't die, they're there in that state, and they're in a certain particular frequency now. No. There's a reason why you plant it.
Can you have a reason?
Well, this borders on your fairy tale fiction as a child, but it also borders on the actual reality of the future. As the years go by, and as we become more technically advanced, we will hurt each other very unmercifully with equipment where there would be no means of reverting the illness or the damage done by medical profession. It will take a type of therapy that involves a highly atomically aligned individual to resolve it. So the product of that therapy is locked up in this process And to give you a fairy tale, is looking for the golden apple that heals the deafness of the dead. You hear what kind of disease that is? It's a fairy tale. Looking for the golden apple that heals the deafness of the dead. Well, the dead is dead, right?
Right.
They can't hear you.
Right.
No. So if you can heal the deafness of the dead by a certain substance, then you come back to life. Now, we aren't supposed to go around doing what Jesus do all the time, raising the dead from the grave, you know, like Lazarus. But we're going to have a lot of people hurt by technical weaponry that don't deserve to be phased out that easily, and we recall to be compassionate. So the product of these apple trees will be for a certain type of illnesses to resolve and rebuild families that will be destroyed by the loss of their loved ones.
My apple tree got eaten by elk or deer.
He's a lucky deer.
Lucky deer.
I'm wondering if I can get a second chance. I planted it out in the yard instead of planting it in a pot.
Well, let's see if you're approved. I'll be coming through. Between here or Flagstaff. Which area you're in?
Maybe they were
going to
get shot.
No, let's see if you're approved. Okay. Now, there are going to be different type of illnesses that are not going to be resolved by medical profession. It's going to be out of the range of the medical profession. It involves a lot of atomic knowledge. And this is a shortcut that we are trying to. We know that Mr. Nostradamus was not a liar. What he's saying is valid, but we don't have to be a victim of his predictions. That's the difference between knowing what is there waiting versus being the victim of what is waiting, or being capable of coping with it and be prepared to cope with it when it occurs. So a lot of us are going to be forced to face atomic radiation in work or locations that we don't expect to be when these things occur. And we don't have to be a victim, especially the initiate or initiate relative. So this is why we're trying to build up certain preventative measures or curative measures for those conditions when they come. It's like what you say, planting the seed now to reap the reward of when that particular condition comes, so we know what to do. When everything else fails, find the apple. So, but how do you, I'll give you a little story. There was a war at the time of Rama, who was the husband of Sita, and the war was taking place in a country called Lanka, today known as Ceylon, and the old name has come back to it, Lanka. And the king of Lanka, his name was Ravana, he had kidnapped Sita. Well, the brother, Rama, and his brother, Lakshman, recruited several armies to go and fight to regain his wife. But they were constantly beaten by Ravana, who was a very highly evolved mystic and could read every movement and block it. And Lakshman got hurt, that's the brother of Rama. And in the hurt, Rama called upon his priest therapist to find out what would be the best means to heal the brother. And they told Rama that he needed the fruit from the tree of life to heal the brother. Now, where could he find this fruit from the tree of life? There are only two trees of life, the human body and one externally in in some location in the Himalayas. So when Rama called and he says, where could he find it? They said, the fruit of life, or the tree of life, is on a mountain called Parbat. And it's in the Himalayas. But how would he find it? How would he recognize it? And the priest told them, they go to this mountain, on this tree where this fruit is growing, there will be a light. It will flash for those who have the eyes to see. So no ordinary person can go find it. That means that an initiate or a highly evolved person would have to spot the tree. So Hanuman was the person who volunteered to go and look for the tree. Hanuman took off, and while he was going towards Parbat, Ravana, who was meditating, could see the whole thing taking place. So with his power, he caused every tree on the Parbat to have a light. That would confuse now Ravana Hanuman when he got there. So when Hanuman got there, he was kind of puzzled. Every tree got a light. He said, what the heck? It just can't be possible. Something is wrong. And then he called on God for guidance. And he had the command to move the mountain. So in his consciousness, he gave the command to the mountain to move. The mountain began to move. This is the reference when Jesus came years after to that particular incident when he said, if you have faith in me like a grain of mustard seed, you say unto the mountain, move, and it will move. Actually, Parbat did move, and Parbat does exist. Hanuman took Parbat with all the lighted trees right back to Lanka, and on his way crossing over from Parbat to Lanka, he had to go over exactly the area where Rama lived. Now, Rama's country was called Ayodhya, which we call India today. That portion of India was occupied by his half-brother, Bharat. And the half-brother heard this rumbling in the sky through his own particular knowledge and called in his men to find out what's going on. And they said that the men fired a weapon into the sky. Now, the weapon's name was Agin Bam, literally mean heat-seeking device. Now, you tell me, you translate from the Vedas a word like that, Agin Bam, a heat-seeking device, or fire, what kind of machine is that? It's not an arrow. Heat-seeking device is a missile in today's language. But this heat-seeking device found and hit Hanuman in the knee and brought him down. And when he came down, he was vulnerable to Bharat. But then he told Bharat that he was on his way to carry this apple or from the tree of life to save the brother of Rama, Lakshman, who is injured. And when he realized that they were half brothers, he then gave a prayer over Hanuman and wished him to get on board a vehicle which they call a Vamana. It travels by sound. Now this is a sound traveling device that will take him to where he wanted to go by the focusing on the voice. Today we know that does exist because UFO equipment has been shown to operate by sonic resonance on radar screen that defy everything in radio. So here he gives a command on the Vamana, and that's the actual term that's being used today with those who have any experience with the extraterrestrials. The vehicle is called a Vamana. It beams in, and he lands on Lanka, known as Ceylon. And then the priest reaches for the right tree with the one that has the right object and heals the brother Lakshman. But then the question comes up, where do you put the residue? That's the cause of all the wars. You can do all kind of magic, materialize everything with your mind and your mouth. But what you do with the residue? Take for one moment. You can say, I need an apple. And there materializes the apple in your hand. No work done to make the apple right. You didn't plant it. You didn't have to wait long enough. You just spoke the word and you have a big, nice apple. What color you like? Yellow, red, orange, nice big one. And then you eat it. And you're satisfied. But then you have residue. Where do you do the residue? You can't throw it in my space. You gotta throw it back at you. And I don't think anyone in this room will allow you to put your residue in their space. Because everyone in this room has the ability to do what materialized apple. See what the problem is now? Think of that, why we got the cosmic wars. And to this day, the cosmic wars are locked into the residue. And even our local atomic wars is a residue. Chernobyl and all these things are all the residues. We call it ecological danger, right? So that's where we come back to. Where do they put Parbat, this mountain, and all these trees that are false versus the real one? They said Hanuman took off and went to a place and put it on top of another mountain as a resting place. And the name of that place was called Everest. Now you go to India, right, the borderland of Tibet, and you'll find the highest mountain in the world, and it's called Mount Everest. And people have climbed it, and everyone who's climbed to the top of Mount Everest come back and tell you it's a double mountain. It's not one single mountain like the rest of mountains. It's a peak hill placed on top of a mountain, but it's such a way it's set. You can hardly define where it begins and ends, but the vegetation on the top is not the same vegetation as below, where it divides. When Hillary went up, he proved that the bottom portion of this plateau section that extends out like it goes like this. One bottom part is wider and there's vegetation there, and then the other section goes out like a ledge and then builds up like a peak point. But the vegetation itself is not the same as the one below. And they can't explain that in no way to themselves, because the way the formation and the rocks are different on the same mountain. So that's where we come back to some unusual phenomena of the nature. But what are we getting at? On that same tree of life, there are certain herbs there up in that mountain range that researchers are trying to analyze now. And we may get the data in the future as to what they're representing. And a lot of diseases that we know that are apparently puzzling to us may be resolved by the minerals that are in those plants. But what the purpose of the initiate life is, that the apple, when it grows and bears a fruit, that fruit will be used for therapeutic purposes of the type of injuries that may involve atomic burns. If the apple remains firm for up to 2 years, it will break down after 2 years. But it's passed the test for 2 years, which tells you that's a rebuilder. But you still have to plant it. But it never breaks down and remains half of the top is green. It grows a little bigger and the odor stays in it all the time. It's never going to break down. You've got to master. That is a living master right there, an avatar. So that person is automatically in that state. And that's their job. Their job is here to be a cosmic nursemaid or builder.
That considers the sonic state and the orgasmic state the same as being the Yogananda then, because his body didn't break down, would he be considered on the gas again? And just one more question. We were talking about the apple lot, so it would come tonight, of course, that it comes up. But if the apple is in, say, the thermal or the fluid state, would you say that a person who had say, a thermal type frequency as opposed to a watery, would there be a clash on the Buddha?
No.
So it has nothing to do with the...
No.
Okay.
Everybody in this room will fall under one of the four categories. And it doesn't have anything to do with competition. It doesn't have anything to do with good or bad. It is your particular locking in to the atom in your particular time processes and your particular horoscope that you have to work with. Now, out there, there are non-initiates. They're the ones who are going to need it, not the initiate. The initiate knows what to do. If the non-initiate doesn't know what to do, they are passengers. Because if the initiate has the ability to crystallize the atom with his voice, is he going to be a victim of atomic radiation? Then he's a fool. He's already been given the power to do what? Crystallize the atom with his voice, or her voice, for that matter. So you cannot be a passenger no more, you're a driver. And who is going to set up an atomic war? An initiate or a non-initiate? Good. So who is going to be hurt with the intent of that war? Non-initiates. Initiates are ones who know the danger of the mistake and are the ones who are here to clean up, but they're given the power to correct it. Now in your Bible, it's written that the Son of God were the only ones that have the power of life over death. And the non-sons of God didn't have the power of life over death. They were called the children of man. So they said the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair and took unto them wives. Now who the hell are these sons of God? Where they come from? It means they are initiates. Those individuals who are initiated are the sons of God. They're the ones who light up. They're the ones who have the capacity to control the atom in the mouth. They will see their brothers and sisters who are not in that state, and if they're going to extend their capability to their offspring, they'd have to marry a non-initiate. They don't necessarily have to marry initiates.
So isn't that like the Nephilim, and they were giants among men?
That's right.
Not necessarily giants in but giants in consciousness.
In consciousness, right. That's the derailed meaning of the thing. They were capable of regulating the atom with their mouth versus the ones who were a victim of their society and of their action and had no way to stop the breakdown of their life by their mouth. But those people are forgiven. That's why Jesus went out and called his disciples to him before he initiated, says, "Come, I'll make you fishers of men." I don't want you to go fishing on the in the river no more, because that's only to eat. Or here is your brothers and sisters who are not initiates, and you can't impose it upon them, but you could help them to pull their head out of the ground like an ostrich who doesn't know what the heck is chasing him and assuming that it's some big gorilla, and it's only maybe a little kitten. But he'll stick his head in the ground and avoid confrontation. So many of us are in the non-initiate existence with fixations about ourselves. And we're not ready to really look at ourselves. When we're ready to look at ourselves and pull our heads out, that's the time when we say, when the student is ready, now of course you got to be a student willing to understand what he is or she is. When they are ready to do that, those who are already awakened will be there. They call them masters. I'm not your master. I'm your brother, but I have to master myself. I have to carry my own convictions to work with my own lifestyle. you have to carry yours to work it out. So each person is carrying his own cross or his own horoscope as a process of mastering it. When he masters it, he declares, the Christ in me does everything and corrects it everywhere now. So it's not yesterday or tomorrow. Now is the thing that the Christ in me has to do. And if it doesn't accept it, he ain't accepting the machine. It's not accepting what they are. Then. So the Christ power is a now principle. And the now principle is the statement of the spoken word to the atom. And this being the temple of God, if God don't want to accept his own temple, then he can shut it. If this God don't want to make restitution to it, when you, the beingness, has the understanding, as Paul says, and not the wishing, then it has to correct itself. So what is important is not to withdraw and hide in a corner and feel sorry or hold it in doubt. It's to exercise this capacity now within the range of your consciousness. You are Christ conscious. You are the living principle in the world of now. And while I'm in the world of now, I am the light of the world now, because I am the atom. I am the integrator of the atom with the spoken word. I have been initiated by the power, and the power has transferred to me my right to exercise it. So what I did in the past is already resolved. Otherwise, I wouldn't be given the power to be a driver behind the wheel. You can't get a permit to drive down the road if you didn't go learn to drive first, right? And you can't assume that you're a driver if the cop tells you, hey, you goofed in the light. Where is your driver's license? And say, I don't have any. Then you deserve to be punished for driving a vehicle without a license. But if you have a license, you'll assume your responsibility for crashing the light. You're not going to deny it if you're wrong. So that's basically your right also. So by virtue of this, as an initiate, and being given the right to exercise the voice over the atom, with your full authority now, within the Christ power locked up in you, you can exercise that on your health. You see, if all of us lying down dead in this room and God walk, he says, hi, fellas, what do you want? Your breath back? Some miracles to perform or possessions to own? What are you going to take? Good, tell me more. So then, if they're going to take my breath, then I must have the power to exercise my right over my handicaps in my physical frame if I'm going to be a glory to you, God. And this is to the glory of God, because the blind man was being healed, not because he committed a sin in the last life or his parents did. It's because he and Jesus is standing there right now facing each other. You get it? So if Jesus could express his command over the atom, the blind man is entitled to what? The experience? What is he blind to? Is he really blind, or is he not looking at the actual understanding of what he is? To be exact, that's what his problem is. When you don't look at what you are, and you don't state it to what you are, then you're blocking the reality of what you are.
Okay, then if you're a doubting Thomas type, like an Adonis.
I don't know nothing.
If you're a doubting Thomas type, then how do you get rid of the mountain of doubt? In other words, it's like if you have a mushy apple, if you had no doubt, you could transform that apple into if you cross that line and you assumed your own God self. But if you're a doubting Thomas type, how do you get rid of that mountain of doubt?
Doubting Thomas is not a doubter in the sense that he doesn't believe or he's not going to check. Doubting Thomas was a term used to describe a man who was a scientist, highly educated Jewish person, from a very highly intellectual family, to the point that he was going to be a rabbi before he ever met Jesus. But Jesus diverted his attitude from his rabbinical studies to a more actual understanding of himself. So he was referred to as a doubting Thomas because he was too objectively specific, as you would say today. The scientists don't accept your convictions until you can test it in a test tube and then give a qualification. That's why he was referred to as a doubting Thomas. But that's not a bad quality. It's a very sound quality in reference to being capable of being reliable to what you say you will do. So it has a value to doubt first and question, but not to deny the opportunity to test it and experience it. So therefore, you would be the first person to back it up after you test it, because it has passed all the tests.
But that sounds like a long way to get there.
My friend, there's no something for nothing. And the something for nothing attitude doesn't get us anywhere. Because why? We're avoiding the confrontation of checking and validating by personal experience. Now, if you're perfect the very first time you did everything, how would you know when you're wrong? You can't know when you're wrong. So, but if you made a mistake and it doesn't work out, then the second time you're going to do what? Try to find out where the mistake is. And so that is what the term came in those days. But that's an agricultural term describing a person who had a scientific attitude to life.
So it wasn't that he doubted Tolkien.
It's just the way they use it.
But he wasn't from Missouri.
No. But here's an interesting thing. If he was truly doubting, in the sense that doubting is being used, he would never aspire to the end of where he accomplished any real truth. Because remember, he's an initiate, number one. But he was, the scientific attitude type of an initiate. He wasn't taking things strictly by hearsay. When his teacher qualified the actual manifestation of the atom with the voice, and left them, Thomas left the Middle East and traveled to the Far East. His body is still existing today in a temple in Goa, India, which is known as Portuguese India today, and it doesn't decompose. And the Vatican didn't move it from Goa to the Vatican simply because that body is there in that Catholic Church, and it remains there as a memento to the contribution of Thomas' own mission to work among the sick and dying people of that part of the world. So that is evidence that Thomas did validate for himself as an initiate the power of the voice over the atom. And that is why we're saying that it is of understanding something more in depth than what we are trying to relate to in terms of philosophy. It's a physics that is involving commitment to your own mechanism. Now, people can go there and get that's one way they can be healed. We are looking at other ways set up by nature for the correction of problems that will be coming in the future. And so, this particular way of the apple is being set up for the reduction of illnesses produced by atomic radiation in the future, because we will not be able to avoid an atomic war, but we could phase down the extent of its damage to society by virtue of our ability to resonate and control certain areas with our consciousness. So we can't stop the knife from cutting you, because one side of the knife is sharp and the other side is a handle. You'd be a fool to take the sharp side and rub it across your face to see if there's the handle.
So no amount of work can avoid it. I mean, in consciousness, there's not anything that we can do to crystallize that atom that would not point a destruction prior to the time. Say right now. right now.
The human race, and that's the human race, not a human being. The human race is not equal in consciousness. But they have the same desire to exist. Individuals evolve independently by themselves to a certain level of control. Therefore, the problem is always within the individual. After they reach a certain level, they think they can correct everything for the human race. Even Jesus couldn't do it, and none of the realized masters could do it, because there's a difference between the human race as a whole thinking and an individual with a karmic pattern working out their own particular involvement. So who are these beings going to help? They're not helping the human race. Who are they helping? Those who are ready to what? Leave the passenger level of the human race and enter the initiate level of the human race. So those who are going to be helped first to have the power to manifest the control of the atom is the initiate. And who is the initiate going to turn on to help? Those who are non-initiates in their particular time frame, if they want to be helped. Now, you can't help a person who doesn't want to be helped. You know, good example. Jesus came to the Jews, right? They didn't want to grab him and accept him right away. Reference from which they inherited their ethnic makeup. He's coming along all of a sudden to show them what great powers they contain in themselves, and that would tear down every form of conviction they would have. They'd have to cancel out allegiance to their ancestors and make an allegiance to a newcomer. And the newcomer could only convince them with certain conditions that would make them think it's magical or non-magical. So they'd be caught between two frames of mind. And they've been exposed already to magical things by their ancestors in the time of Moses. So anything more magical ain't going to make it what? More convincing that they don't have the right to call upon the God. So naturally, he doesn't have any audience with that particular group. Try as he wish, they would never listen. So, what does he do with his accomplishment? He turns around and looks. He says, I came unto my own received me not. But as many, no matter who you are, Greek, French, initiate or non-initiate, as many as receive me right here and now, I'll give you this power. Even those who believe in my name, meaning even when I'm not here present in the human frame with you and working with you, the mere fact that you hear my name, that I did exist, this particular contribution is extended to you based upon your acceptance of yourself. So that goes way into a dimension of where we hear of these great men leaving their commitment. And we can use what they is known as master charge. That's the cosmic credit card. Okay, they are given their word to back up what they say. So, what does the modern day person do under those circumstances? In the name of the Christ, I accept my right to be healthy or whatever it is, based upon the extended love of this great being who says, just accept my name, it's done. And that's what the love is all about. The love is to turn on the atoms in your body to work for you out of love. So what we're trying to say is this. The initiate is an individual who is turned on to his own atomic structure and would be of a service in the future to the non-initiate who may doubt or disbelieve, even under the worst circumstances they find themselves, they may not want to accept any kind of transformation, we have to have more tangible ways to help them in spite of themselves. And so the apple wheel is a means of providing certain functions in the future. So if the apple comes from the tree that she plants, and since it represents dissolving, whenever that apple comes into existence and there is a human being hurt by any kind of a radiation, that would require a solution process to freeze it out of the tissue, then an apple of the dissolving frequency would be available to do it. The element in there would be interactive atomically to freeze it out. The same elements that could feed the body, same elements that can make the body toxic, same elements that can create destruction, can be utilized for therapy. Now, what is an atom bomb? It's an atom of what? Element. Good. In a certain state, plutonium and hydrogen is very, very destructive to the human body. In another state, it's very, very essential for the existence of the human body. And in another state, it's corrective for any injury incurred by it on the human body. So therefore, the same element has many functions: to destroy, to sustain, or to correct. So we see the polarity of the element going on all the time. But the time frame that we are in, when we are around the sun, in the moment of our particular galactic movement, this is where our mind action is going to impose. So we are approaching the Aquarian age. But there's no such thing as Aquarian age, it's Aquarian cycle of the Iron Age, where iron as a metal would be so sophisticated in the Aquarian thinking that much of the destructiveness could be highly reactive very fast on the human body, and we have no way how to phase it down unless there are compensatory actions going on. So there are many ways to compensate. We can compensate by research with the actual mechanical machinery. We can compensate by raising the level of our awareness to work upon the atom directly through our own interaction of the spoken word. And we can raise the level of awareness by surrendering to the force field of daily confrontation in the form of pain and commitment. So the human body has three ways to resolve: not to be afraid of pain, but to work through pain, to rise above pain, to know the elements in the body, to direct them by certain equipment, or to reach the level with the spoken word that you can correct the very action of the elements that is hurting. As an initiate, this moment in time, you should be meditating to experience the non-solidness of the atom in the form of matter. That's your very first encounter with this, what you call third eye vision, or convex vision, or hologramic vision. So the non-initiate sometimes get this by an accident or a blow on the head or by taking drugs. The initiate isn't taking drugs. He's supposed to go there actually by the process of oxygen, where matter can be seen in its atomic structure by the internal convex vision. And that is why you're given the techniques to activate it. And as you approach that level, the validation has to be there. So you're not using any kind of imagination or belief. So the second part of your meditation, after you've done the mantra, you're supposed to look for the inner eye and see the light and hear the sound currents of the atoms in your body. Now, you're supposed to watch it, and whatever appears in there, and I gave you already, there's a gold ring, there's a blue background, and there's a five-pointed star. The five-pointed star represents the five elements to which this manifested frame must function and prove itself, like a police system, like one of those things that you go through an airport there to check you out and see if you've got a phone there. Yes. So this is what you're doing when you check it. Now, they can't come in there and make pledges or promises and try to use you or give you all kind of fancy games. It's not valid, because then they're not even evolved themselves. So if they are evolved and you see it, they have to make the contribution of giving you a valid, tangible experience of a transfiguration. Now, Jesus did that for his disciples as an initiate. And so the non-initiate may go into the other levels of exposure, but for the initiate, that's not their road. The initiate's road is to see the being and have a tangible experience with the being, and the being making the pledge of validity. Then you know they're not using you, and your consciousness is raised up to their level of equalness. So there's no such thing, one being above the other. The master is not above the student is not above the master. It's enough that they be friends. You, the initiate, and the realized person is an initiate of the same identical law, and therefore the same identical experience. So one can say, hey, I can materialize, and you say, you can't. No.
So it applies then to one who experiences it.
So the tangible manifestation is the test. And that is what you're working for, because we're not interested in fooling ourselves with statements or any kind of a pseudo condition that will give us power over time. I'm not going to condemn their method, but I've yet to see where they can crystallize itself in front of me. Their best medicine man can do it, but I have done it for them. I went to their meeting, and I'm the first one to walk out through the top of their organ, leaving them all sitting down there wondering how the hell I could do it. Then the medicine man looked down and said, you want to come or you want to stay with them? Then he had to force himself to come up. And when we both outside in the organ, and the rest are inside, he said, brother, this way to God is entirely different. I said, yes, but we're not here to change the world. Let's go back in. We went back in, and that very day after, they put away their herbal stuff and began to use their nose.
I might mention something about this comment he just made there. Psychotropic plants are not whatever. The only reason that Don Juan ever talked about psychotropic plants in his book is because the person he was working with needed them for a boost. That's the only reason. They're not used to gain any kind of...
No, I understand that too, because we're well aware of what he's doing.
Yeah.
They use that mostly as a medicinal means for a person who can't slow down their brain enough to call upon their own internal endorphins to heal themselves. But the real medicine man doesn't actually need it. He started off with it, but then in the end he doesn't need it. Because I've seen many of them who eliminated and dropped it off and went directly inside to awaken themselves after. But we are not here to condemn them. We're here to understand what level they're working with. And so from these different levels, we know that the actual way that with the least side effect on the human body is respiration. Because no matter how many chemicals you put in your body, if you don't breathe, you ain't going no place. So when God put us all together, He put all 144 elements, and they're all found in plants and all kind of different things, but the human body has them all. So if you're looking for a psychotropic element in a plant, you ain't going to find anything more unusual than if I told you what a trace mineral was. See, I know what a trace mineral is, but that's the actual mineral. So you can name 50 different plants with containing it, and you'll find them in all our parts of the world. So that's where the one man's understanding is. He knows it as a plant. I know it as a trace mineral in the plant. And everybody says they use vitamin C. But I know the mineral inside of vitamin C. What makes a vitamin C a vitamin C? That's the big difference of knowing what the thing is versus who the thing is. You may need vitamin C to be capable of taking care of toxins in your body. But if you don't know what a vitamin C is made of, you can drink all the vitamin C and never get cured. But if you know what it's made of, you'll know when to put it in, and the toxins will correct themselves. But that's the difference of what the thing is versus who the thing is. There are a lot of herbs that are considered psychotropic. But the person who is using it may not know what is in the herb itself that performs a psychotropic effect. There are only two types of minerals in this world, a basic mineral and a trace mineral. Psychotropic drugs or plants fall under two categories. 30% fall under basic minerals, and 70% fall under trace minerals. And your body contains them all, plus one more thing that the environment doesn't have. The environment is composed of 143 elements. A human body is composed of 144. That one extra element is, name it. Good. It has power over the 143. But you can't keep it, because it's called God, for God is you, and resident as your conscious ability to use it. And only the initiate, one who is turned on to it, has this power. So basically, when a person is turned on to their actual sonic control, all 143 of them have to synchronize. But not before you're initiated, you wouldn't do that. Initiation is handing you the responsibility of your mechanism to your voice. After that, you are liable for everything you say. So we're not going to condemn people who come up with ethnic way by utilizing certain means to arrive at certain experiences. We want to know more of what those experiences really represent and what is the structure of the experience. This is the big difference between belief and understanding. Many of us believe in God. How many of us understand God? God is not a person sitting in a throne waiting for dead people. He's already at the tip of your nose. But that's what we have to understand, what it is, and why it is, and why it became all these things. And we never become it. We who is only the personality or self-individuality. The totality is creative presence, called spirit by the American Indian. In the East it's called Brahma, Brit, or Jehovah, Ide. That's what the word means, you know.
what Donald and the Hopi prophecy seems like they're waiting for a being outside of their own complete the picture. What is
it? No, that is the way they speak it to those who hear them, but deep down in the brain of the medicine man, and I don't mean those who listen to the medicine man himself, he knows it's an internal release of the human being to accept the oneness of the God in them. But until this internal release comes, there is no way to accept this experience. And it can only come by trial and error. So the medicine man knows that, but he is unable to explain it to the people around him because they're already limited with certain fixations from heritage, and he can't break it too fast, and so he has to work with them. But if you take the medicine man and talk with him personally in the level he is, you'll see all the ritual generally leads to self-understanding. It's just you have to work with it to understand it. Because the layman wouldn't recognize them. But I have worked with them, so I know that they're all working towards a self-understanding. But again, it's hard to tell people to accept themselves right away.
Would they start with maybe the young ones coming in if they were, but again, they have to be open with it to learn because they follow their pattern.
Well, you know why that is so? Evolution is the outward expression of God. Involution is the inward expression of God. So if you were born 100 years, you wouldn't evolve to age one. There would be no evolution. But you're born 1 year, evolving to 100 years. So you have to be programmed by your parents for all through until you take responsibility. But if you were born, and you push your head out of the womb and come out and say, "Hi, Mom, my name is Jackie Smith, and I'm 180 years of age, and I'm ready to get going. Where is that computer machine?" You know, she says, "Shut up, you bloody head, you." And you want to tell your parents off, but that doesn't happen. That's a backward function. So we can't go that route. We have to come through the evolving route in a manifested organism in order to learn by trial and error. And that's how it's set up for us all. Now, this is the one big catch to all beings, because all beings are endowed by God. Because God made man in his own image and likeness, male and female created him, and breathed into man breath of life, and man became a living soul. He doesn't have a soul, and if he did have a soul, it's preposterous for the human body to save it, or to contain it. So that we see why those statements were written in such a way, and in an agricultural way, and was often misleading to the person growing up. And we have to take what people say until we check it out ourselves to find out what actually is versus who we think it is. Man and creation falls under two categories. All men and women are a direct manifestation of God. And all of us are respiratory functions. But we're sent out to do one thing: go forth, multiply, and have dominion over the universe. But we were also given the power to manifest what we want by the spoken word. But we goofed up centuries ago. And in goofing up, the thing that caused us to goof up is the residue of the manifested thought. What do you do with it? If you can manifest anything you want, and don't know what to do with the residue, you're in a predicament. You read in the autobiography of a yogi where there was a young man who had the ability to materialize anything he wanted in gold plates, gold spoons, gold dishes, and everything, right? And this, after he fed people, and even when he went to a trade station, he would look at the person selling the ticket. He said, they're not beautiful, and he would touch them, and well, he wouldn't buy a ticket, and then when he walked away towards the train, as soon as he got to the person who took the ticket, he materialized one behind the man and get him aboard the train. But he would always call it a being called Hazrat. And now you know that's okay if you're looking for something for nothing. But they're not going to criticize him for that. That's the way he's coming in. But he discovers, even though he had this ability to manifest what he wanted or whenever he needed it, he couldn't keep the dishes. He could visualize the best, most expensive dishes made out of gold and diamonds that would sell for thousands of dollars or rupees in India after he eat the meal. And whatever the crumbs or the bones or crumbs left there, where are they going to throw it? And so the dishes didn't stay, that he could go and sell it to make some money. They all disappeared again. So he found out he was what? A victim of what? An electrical fixation of his own brain. He had no full command over the atom. But he was able to satisfy anyone who hung around him, if they were hungry, to give them an edible meal to eat. But they'll always look at the plate disappearing. So they ate free food. But they were always worrying about security at night, where they're going to sleep, or something to pay the bill. So they have to keep materializing. That story is in your other biography of the yogi, the something for nothing attitude. Now, to take it the next step further, Jesus came to his own people. He wasn't going to be caught in that predicament because he knew they were going to challenge him. So when he saw them all around him, he felt compassionate to feed them as a guest. So he turned to one of his students and says, how much money you got to buy some bread? So that means he can't counterfeit money. And whatever he's got to go buy it. That's valid. So the student went out and realized he didn't have enough money to buy bread for 4,000 people. And he came back, he said, we don't have enough money. He said, okay. But I can't materialize money because it belongs to Caesar. What have you got to eat? I can't make what you ain't got. Because I don't know what you want to eat. So your desire is all I can have crystallized. So a little boy showed up. I got this. Look at this. Lunch back. Mommy gave me my lunch back. What's it, son? Oh, some fish and some bread. Fine. Okay. This is what the society eats, fish and bread. Put it there. And he amplified it. Then he turned to his students and said, now share it. Now this could satisfy visual, five senses, hearing, smelling and tasting. But if they're going to be a victim of their imagination, there shouldn't be anything left to clean up, because fish has bones and bread has crumbs. That's tangible. And yet, in order to show them that you was a master of the atom and not a master of the imagination, they had to pick up the crumbs and the bones. That's the residue. No. They didn't like that. Because, you know, 4,000 people throwing bones and crumbs on the ground. Man, that's a heck of a place to clean up, and you can't do it in 24 hours. So they didn't tell you how long it took them to clean up their bones and crumbs, but they said they pick up 12 baskets full. And you know, they didn't say how big the baskets were. But they had 12 baskets as evidence that they clean up their residue. So this tells you they had to be actually working
with the atom and not guessing. So when he did this, he left them with the awareness that they were not a victim of imagination, but they really were experiencing tangible accomplishment of the spoken word over the atom, which they as an individual had the right to if they became a student or initiate. Now he's offering them the opportunity, as many as receive me, as many as accept, fine, even those who just hear my name, granted. So this is within the range of the individual. Now, if he doesn't back up his own word, then he's a phony. You and I as an individual can claim that by the master charge statement. The word has been said by him. We are here to take the word and apply it to our own lives. So for that reason, we have every right to say to ourselves, I am well and functioning with full capacity in every level with my utmost good.
Now.
So if you don't exercise it, then you get left out, because you may have some notion that you don't feel you're worthy. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is worthy who accepts his opportunity to apply the spoken word, regardless of what you believe or don't believe in. This is your opportunity, because the guarantor has already granted his decree. And it would be like a person who, you may be a relative of this person, and this person has left you in their will. But all they left you in their will, or this tremendous, big, huge estate, is a credit card. Would the estate refuse to honor the credit card when it's used by you, the inheritor? I don't think so. So if we are the sons of God, and our brother came and left us a credit card for us to use, only have to refer to his name, would you refuse to use it? And would the guarantor of the estate refuse to acknowledge the use of it after you use it? I don't think so either. Because I've proven it, that Jesus backs up everything he says. But what is more important, he doesn't want us to worship him as a glorified being. He wants us to accept the equalness of our nature with him. That's why he said, he that doeth the will of the Father is my brother and my sister and my mother, and he that followeth my word is my student. But the student is not above the master, nor a master above the student. It is enough that we be friends. Putting everybody on an equal level in reference to the ability to use the spoken word over the atom. Well, where do you use it primarily? In your health, because that's all that comes in the body, breathing, physical health. And you have that right to exercise it. So that's why we say we can exercise this principle and build our own reality. And the initiate has that opportunity, more so than the non-initiate. The non-initiate is a passenger, but we, the driver, can't leave the passenger stranded, so we offer them the opportunity to be drivers of their own car. And we do offer them compassion by helping them to overcome their handicap.
So, you, last time you talked about hope, faith, and then charity. Hope being desire. Let's say you have the desire, and you have the faith that you have.
That a charity.
It's possible. Okay. What keeps you going when we're locked into time and space? In other words, Christ can manifest the sufficient presence. Take 1 a year, 2, 3 years to build the body back up just by talking. How do you hang on? I mean, I don't know if I'm clear, but it's like
the faith gets a little bit shaky when it's not instantaneous the way it's supposed to be. I mean, why should it be now?
Why should it not be now?
I'm not going to ask
the
question.
The question is, you're depending on faith. You're not depending on hope. You can get a blow on your head and lose all your faith. But if you have hope, your faith will come back to you. But if you lose your hope, you have no faith to restore it. Because without hope, faith wouldn't work. So is which of the two or three conditions that take priority in the mechanism? Is it faith taking priority or hope taking priority? It's like your body. Your liver is a very important organ. It operates from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning as the start of the day. And your lungs operate from 3 to 5. Yet between your liver and your lungs, which you think takes priority in the body?
Yeah.
Yeah? The lungs, good. So the biological clock reads from 3 o'clock and not from 1 o'clock at night. So you can have the best liver and you don't breed the burial. You can have all the faith in the world and you have no hope, they're buried. So did the person lose the faith to live or they lose the hope to live? So you see what takes priority. Even though it's set up faith, hope and charity, the priority is hope, faith, charity.
And what the mind says is that you're being mind. Says that's ego. That's like you're playing God, or you're in trying to manifest where there might be a little bit of cleanup, but I can stick it in the garbage can. Nobody will know it'll be there.
Right.
Like an apple or a cum.
Good.
You know. So there's no cleanup psychologically. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's only going to happen. I'm no one using it. But there must be a mustard seed of doubt, because we're subconscious. Could we be fully convinced consciously that this is all possible? And intellectually, it makes sense, it's atomic structure, but still be driving with the brake on because of the subconscious or something else. I mean, have we got everything here to make this happen? Consciously.
Even if you have it all, ask yourself this question: would you test it to see if it works? Have everything in front of you, ready to go. Will you test it to see if it will work?
Sure.
You sure?
I feel like it would.
Yeah. You're
Why wouldn't you?
It's because you fall asleep.
Oh, God.
If you don't fall asleep, you. You would do it. Well, you see, you fall asleep every night and you don't know who the hell you are before you wake up. You ain't got no guarantee you can do it. That is what you got to overcome, Fred. You have to overcome the fooling of yourself every night that you need to sleep. That's why he criticized his own students. For nothing else, he didn't even criticize them. He never had any other criticism for them other than that one thing. Could you not pray a while with me? You all fall asleep. And that's the only real test of this mechanism being incompetent of making the atom work for it. Because it surrenders its devotion of loving God in all of the mind. Now you can't love God in all of your mind if you're going to fall asleep. You're entitled to fall asleep or be born sleeping as a child. And during that level, you could be the non-initiate. But the moment you step into the level of the initiate, you can't fall asleep at the wheel. You get an accident. Right, okay. So you don't go monkey around sleeping at the wheel. See, you had a period where you could sleep, and the other period is inward awareness. So, by and large, the action of no sleeping And don't let the word no sleeping be a trap for the mechanism. It's just a statement of non-relating inwardly is not practical. You've got to be constantly relating to yourself inwardly at every moment. That's why they say loving the Lord with all of the mind. There is no moment that you could think of something else to face it down or suppress it. And when you're relating inwardly, you're not analyzing, you are photographing. So inward love of God is witnessing. That's why they refer to the true lover of God as a witness. They couldn't describe it any better in their terminology than to use the word witness, which means to watch. Internally, loving God all the time is like a camera, not like a computer, because a computer analyzes, but a computer can't replay B if you punch A. You have to get B if you punch B. You gotta get A when you punch A. A camera isn't concerned if it's a dog or a mouse or a tree. It's looking at, whenever you press the lever, that's how it's gonna photograph. Otherwise it can keep looking. Like, you ever see those cameras they have in the stores that is watching you? So it's a type of equipment function that you have inside in terms of awareness. The self-watching. It's called self-watching. And it's conscious. And it's all. So it doesn't have any way to phase off and go into a shutdown state. So for that reason, the teacher is telling the student that is the ideal state to aspire to.
Oh. So then we know that we are starting to get control over our tongues.
Yeah.
When we can go with that.
That's right.
For that we don't have any.
No. Now the razor's edge is based on the same thing to the end of the book. He spent the whole 24 hours up in the mountain getting to a non-sleep state to find out if he's going to be enlightened. And the word enlightened didn't mean he got smart or he got more wisdom. It simply means he lost the ability to sleep and feel stupid. That's the enlightenment.
Then, John, taking that to the next step of any being that goes on vacation, this is something that Linda was listening to a tape she was going to Phoenix. And then I was just trying to understand Yogananda going on vacation. Or say, some of the masters presently in India, when you ask the students, will they leave this plane? The answer is always, well, yeah, because it's going to drop the body. Understanding what you say, it seems like, why would one want to drop the body? They want to have life eternal now and then eternity.
Remember, we're coming out from a Piscean cycle and moving into an Aquarian cycle. And the language that was used to describe what we are was not very specific. Therefore, a great deal of beings were locked into different interpretations of the language. As we become more specific and clarify what we are, we no longer use those terminology to describe what the experience is supposed to be. And by this understanding, the experience of what you are becomes quicker, better and more functional every moment you use the correct statement instead of the old Piscean statement. The new terminology is far more exact and far more experiential as an experience than the old terminologies. The old terminologies are not very experienced. They're too guilt-ridden and locked in with a lot of frustration and doesn't take any sense of commitment. Whereas the new terminology frees you from guilt, which is a major drain on your mechanism, and gives you the sense of commitment, which is an accomplishment feeling, which motivates you into action.
then would, why wouldn't some of, just understand that some of, here you are in the now, expressing this out to the creation for anybody that's ready to hear it, then why wouldn't some of the other big teachers sort of put that out too, also, like, because it, it just changed, just revamped, like, go with a bit more revamping, you know?
I tell you why, it can't, everybody can't be the same. If you wanted to get a PhD from a certain university, would it be the same curriculum in another university, or is it going to be different?
Different. But if I
but they're all going to give you a degree, a PhD, right?
No.
But they'll want a certain thing to be different.
And yeah, but wouldn't you want to give, if I was teaching in a university somewhere, and I was giving out information which I knew to work to that time, and then I go to another university and I hear you and I go, wow, this guy, he knows what he's talking about, so I'll go back and then give that information out, because I know yours is going to speed it up.
But the thing is this, remember, each teacher or individual that is giving out information is giving it out for a specific reason to an individual who needs to hear it in that frame of reference. All of us can't hear it scientifically specific. We aren't ready for it. Some of us need to be coached through the agricultural language in order to break free from those fixations.
So they may know it, the beings over there may know it with you, but they're doing their job and they will help in that way rather than give it out.
Exactly. So if you are ready to grasp it scientifically, there are many out there who aren't ready to grasp it scientifically. They still want the agricultural language to give them a sense of commitment or feeling of need. So where you are, to what level you can handle it, that's what you're working with. Now, I didn't want agricultural language when I met Yogananda, because I couldn't see where agricultural language describing God made me feel happy. It made me more miserable, and all this feeling guilty for something I didn't do. So when he came along for the first time in his book and gave scientific description of the truth, it rang a bell in my consciousness. Here, the first time somebody says something I know is valid. But then I wanted to go see him and study with him. Then he writes and tells me, don't come and see me. Stay where you are. So that tells me right away, association isn't always the role. Work and confrontation is the role. So I have to work with my own mechanism and confront my daily actions. And then I understood what Jesus meant when he said, pick up your cross and follow. He didn't say, pick up mine. If I pick up Jesus' cross, he'd be saying, no, he's talking to you now, and I'd be nailed to the cross and long gone. Right? But we are doing that. He was nailed and I'm sitting here. But we all got the same process to carry on, just as you are sitting here. See? So wherever you are in the time frame of now and working out the understanding, that's the most important moment. What has happened in the past had to happen. What your parents did to you or gave an opportunity for you to come through, that had to be the road. But we don't criticize the parents, and we don't criticize the fact that we made misapplied decisions in a previous life to be where we are now. What is important now, that this moment is the culmination.